ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ವಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ವಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ವಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧೇ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿತಾಯ 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 ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿತಾಯ प्रभु पराजय प्रभु परा प्रभु परा श्रील प्रभु पारा गुरुदेव 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 जय श्रील गुरुदेव कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 21st chapter, text number 4. Yeah, 4, yeah. Tasyam savai mahayogi, yuktayam yoga lakshanaihi, sasarjakatidha viryam, तन्मे शुश्रूषवे वद तस्यां सवै महायोगी युक्तायां योगलक्षणैः ससर्जकतिधा वीर्यं तन्मे शुश्रूषवे वद तस्यां सवै महायोगी युक्तायां योगलक्षणैः ससर्जकतिधा वीर्यं तन्मे शुश्रूषवे वद तायां योगलक्षणैः कतिधा वीर्यं तन्मे शुश्रूषवे वद तस्यां सवै महायोगी तायां योगलक्षणै सतर्ज कतिधा वीर्यं तन्मे शुश्रूषवे वद तस्यां सवै महायोगी योगलक्षणै सतर्ज कतिधा वीर्यं तस्यां सवै महायोगी तायां योगलक्षणं कतिधा वीर्यं तन्मे तस्यां इन हर सह कर्दममुनि वै इन फैक्ट महायोगी ग्रेट मिस्टिक योगी युक्तायां एंडोर्ड योगलक्षणैः विद द एटफोल्ड सिम्टम्स ऑफ योगिक परफेक्शन तत् दैट नरेशन मे टू मी शुश्रूषवे हु आई एम ईगर टू हियर वद tell. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. How many offspring did that great yogi beget through the princess who was endowed with eightfold perfection in the yoga principles? Oh, pray tell me this, for I am eager to hear it. Purport. Here Vidura inquired about Kardama Muni and his wife, Devahuti, and about their children. It is described here that Devahuti was very much advanced in the performance of eightfold yoga, Ashtanga yoga. The eight divisions of yoga performance are described as control of the senses, strict following of the rules and regulations, practice of different sitting postures, control of the breath, withdrawing the senses from sense objects, concentration of the mind, meditation, and self-realization. After self-realization, there are eight further perfectional stages, which are called yoga siddhis. The husband and wife, Kardama and Devahuti, were advanced in yoga practice. The husband was a Mahayogi, great mystic, and the wife was a yoga lakshana, or one advanced in yoga. They united and produced children. Formerly, after making their lives perfect, great sages and saintly persons used to beget children. Otherwise, they strictly observed the rules and regulations of celibacy. Brahmacharya, following the rules and regulations of celibacy, is required for perfection of self-realization and mystic power. There is no recommendation in the Vedic scriptures that one can go on enjoying material sense gratification at one's whims as one likes, and at the same time become a great meditator by paying a rascal some money. Om Ajnanat Nivirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshahuvan Velitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamakhyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam sa avadutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namavum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This may be a new piece of information for us to know that Devahuti was also perfected in Ashtanga Yoga. Generally, when Bhagavatam speakers talk about Kardama Muni Devahuti, they sometimes use this example of this couple to show how husband was a highly accomplished husband spiritually, and how wife was, of course, materially very rich, coming from an affluent family. She is the daughter of the king of the world. But when she became a wife of Kardama Muni, she assisted him very nicely. And while assisting him, she became emaciated, and Devahuti represents a disciple who may not be very advanced in austerities. And Kardamuni represents a highly elevated spiritual master. So, if one pleases the heart of the spiritual master, even though the disciple may be incompetent, incapable, still the disciple can make a tremendous progress and get abundant realizations, even if he is an illiterate, and by the blessings of the spiritual master. So, that is a point that's highlighted there. There is one particular verse when it will come later about Devahuti and Kardamuni. So, in one sense, Devahuti was having a great admiration for her great husband, Kardamuni, for his mystic powers, for his spiritual potency, and for his sobriety, and for his fixity on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and for his good character, and for his purity. So, she was very attracted by his shining demeanor. When even after Kardamuni told Swayambhu Manu that once I give her a son, I will take to the renounced order, still she was willing to accept him because she thought he is a highly qualified husband to accept. So she accepted. And by serving him, she also attained perfection. Whereas here we also find one additional information that she was also well accomplished in the Ashtanga Yoga. Like we read about Shabari. Shabari was not only a great devotee of Lord Rama, but when she was a very small girl, she went to the forest meeting the saintly persons and requesting them to teach her Ashtanga Yoga. So many of them thought that she is a very little girl, what will she learn? But one Matanga Rishi taught her. And right from very childhood, very young age, she was practicing for many years. And the perfection of Ashtanga Yoga is to attain Samadhi on the personality of Godhead, which she achieved also. She developed a great bhakti. And her guru had blessed her, telling her that definitely you will see the Supreme Lord eye to eye in your life. And that time will come. Even though you may be very old, you will definitely get to see him. So that blessing came true eventually. So this goes to show, interestingly, that not only men were into practicing Ashtanga Yoga, even the women were also learning all these practices to make their attention fixed, one-pointed on the Supreme Lord. It is not that the woman's body is just meant for expanding material life and for maintaining material life, as is often thought of. Similarly, you will find in Ambarish Maharaja's section, it is said, Mahishya Tulya Shilaya, the word is used, which means the queen of Ambarish Maharaj was equally competent in devotional service, like Ambarish Maharaj, it is said. So if husband is a great devotee, wife also is a great devotee. She assists him in devotional service. If husband is a great Mahayogi, then she also learns Ashtanga Yoga. So he is saying Om, she will also say Om. Both of them will be doing Ashtanga Yoga together. That means the wife is assisting the husband in whichever path the husband is practicing. So she is assisting him. Here we find that she was also advanced, he says. He was a great mystic and she was an advanced yogi, advanced in yoga. So she was able to... But the best part is both of them were devotees also, not just Ashtanga yogis or Hatha yogis, just doing yogasanas for enjoying life. They were doing yogasanas to attain the Supreme Lord. That is why Prabhupada, towards the end of this talk, this purport, he says that, you know, the brahmacharya is required for perfection of self-realization and mystic power, even for those who are grihasthas. Because even in married life, if husband and wife have to beget powerful children, saintly children, then the yoni of the woman has to be pure. It has to be pure enough, and the man should be spiritually potent. If the man is spiritually advanced and the wife is chaste and pure, then the child issue that comes from them will be very saintly and very powerful also. So because of this reason, even those who would get married, for years together they would perform spiritual practices to increase their purity of heart to increase their habits and behavior. And after they achieve a very advanced status, then they will beget children. So that the children born would be proper. Sometimes you find, you know, Krishna consciousness movement, mother, father cry that their son is not taking to Krishna consciousness. But if you see, oftentimes the son, daughter are already born when their consciousness was very passionate. And then now the children have grown up, now the parents have come to Krishna consciousness, but they are unable to mold the children in Krishna consciousness. Because children were not born in a state of mind which was sattvic and pure. Because of which right now you cannot suddenly mold them. It's not possible. It's like arrow sped from a bow. It's difficult to stop. So similarly, the child born from passion, the passion practically lasts till life. Unless the boy wakes up to spiritual life, becoming inspired by some great Vaishnava devotee, on his own, voluntarily, he can use his free will and purify his heart. Otherwise, parents can control the children till the age of 8 or 10. Once the parents grow beyond the shoulder, they will say, do your own thing, I'll do my thing. Isn't it? So, that is why the parents are very keen that the child we beget should be very proper, as Prabhupada says here. After advancing in yoga practice, then they begot children. In the Vedic times, you will find the begetting a good son is considered a very important thing for a grihastha. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is very attentively listening to the brahmanas describing the glories of Parikshit. What are the qualities of Parikshit? What qualities he will have? How will he rule the world? So he's very joyful to hear that. So now somebody may say, is it not a kind of propensity for vamshavritti and increasing one's materialistic family? Is it not considered bondage? But the kings, their desire to have a good son is not outruled, because they wanted a good son as a successor so that when they are gone, they will be able to do the service on behalf of God to protect the world, to protect the citizens, and to keep peace and law and order, everything. And to direct the people in the path of spiritual life through the brahmanas. So every king would naturally worry about having good successors who will carry forward Lord's mission in the same way as they carried forward, in the same manner. So from that point of view, it is not considered improper for someone to be anxious to have a good son. So Chitraketu's lamentation to have a son can be seen from two angles. From one angle of being attached to having a son at any cost, even if it is not in the destiny also, which is material attachment. But on the other hand, a king wanting to have an ideal son as a good successor, who will be like a torch bearer. Like you have seen in the sports, somebody carries a torch and runs, and then he gives to another person, he takes and runs. Similarly, the king gives a torch to the son, and son carries forward, and then he gives to his son. So generation after generation, if they can carry the wisdom of God as coming in the scriptures through the saintly persons in their lives and in the lives of the citizens, they would be considered a very successful dynasty. So, and such children would be only born by very careful and attentive practice of spiritual life. Otherwise, they would not unnecessarily indulge, even if one is related as husband and wife, they would not unnecessarily indulge for the sake of pleasure. So, sex for procreation and sex is not for recreation. So, in the Vedic life, you will see sex was always for procreation. And you will find even the animals, they also use sex for procreating the offsprings. At other times, they don't unnecessarily indulge. You will not see them, actually. Animals are more regulated than humans also, in that sense. But it's only the human being who uses it for recreation. And when he does so, what is the result of that? The Shastras explain, unnecessary indulgence in sense gratification will plunge us in deep ignorance. When we get plunged in ignorance, the result of ignorance is bodily consciousness, identifying with the material body, and the heart will become flooded with material desires. Actually, the amazing phenomenon about material desire is when somebody gives shape to material desire, it multiplies. It has a tendency to multiply. Just like you might have heard, cancer, when the doctor tries to remove the cancer, some little bit will be left behind. And that develops, boom, very fast, all over the body. Sometimes when they remove the cancer, a person dies very quickly because the left out portion expands very fast. Similarly, you find with mosquitoes and bacteria and virus and all, when they come, they multiply very powerfully. Similarly, the material disease also, you know, if one does not make a systematic plan to destroy the material disease, if one does not do it, then the material disease keep multiplying like stars in the sky, unlimited. They keep increasing more and more. And if one gives shape to material disease, then also they multiply. That's why Krishna says, Dushpurena Analena Cha, he says. Satisfying material desire is like pouring petrol in fire. It only increases. It doesn't become appeased. It doesn't become calm. It's like, imagine there is a fire somewhere. Already there is a gas cylinder in the kitchen. Suddenly caught fire. You have to put it off. Quickly bring a tin of petrol and throw over it. What will happen? It will even blow more. It will blow the whole cylinder only. Similarly, foolishly, the common living entities, whenever they are, nagged by the, nagged is a proper word, by the material desire, which is like itching sensation. When there is an itching sensation, sometimes the doctor tells you that you don't scratch in the wound because the wound will spread all over the body, just like smallpox, chickenpox people have. If you scratch with the nail, it may spread. And then you scratch here and touch here also it will come. You scratch here and touch here also it will come. Everywhere it will come. So, whenever somebody gets a scratching sensation, two things are said. One is stop scratching, which is very difficult to do because doctor has told one has to do. Another thing is apply medicine. Both have to be done. Because when you apply medicine, the existing, you know, source in the body will be gone if you apply medicine. And if you don't scratch here and there and touch your body, then it will not spread further. Similarly with material disease also, for stopping the material disease in our mind and eliminating them, one has to make sure that one doesn't give shape to the material disease, which are actually propelling from within the heart. So actually there are objects in this world without, outside us, and there are material diseases from within. And we are like an ant caught between devil and deep sea, as we say. You know, sometimes the ant is caught in the middle of a log of wood. Both sides there is fire. One side sense object, one side material disease inside. Internally unclean mind causes push from within. And external sense objects, like for example, these days the media is so easily available. Everybody is carrying a big screen. Now there's additional big screen they are selling nowadays, separately. You know that? If you have a small mobile, you can connect it to your big screen now. They're selling it separately. So you can see Maya on a big screen and fall down. Provide facility for that. So we have objects outside and desires inside. And we should not allow these two to connect. If you allow these two to connect, we'll be finished. We are in between. So what we have to do is we have to keep the objects far away and we have to cleanse the material desires within. And then you conquer. You are free. One can rise above the situation. But oftentimes, the cleansing of the material desire is not such a process. Even when a spiritual master tries to cleanse the material desire in the heart of the disciple, the guru may become an enemy to the disciple also. Because people are attached to poison. Poisonous fruits, as it is said. Although it may be very dangerous. Like one time, my father had... whenever father would come home in the evening, he would bring something. So I put my hand into his bag and checked whether he has brought anything. That day, for the first time I saw, when he was a small kid, he had brought that naphthalene balls, you know. One packet full of all white. They look like peppermint, you know. Very nice. And very good smell. I had never seen a peppermint which is smelling also good. I only had seen, colorful peppermints before. Peppermint means like, what do you call it? Mitai. So immediately I picked up the whole packet and I was running. And my mother came running behind. Hey, give it here, don't take it. Because they wanted to put it in the cupboards for the keeping the cockroaches and all away. So then I thought, mother will not allow me to eat everything. I just tore the packet and picked up two only in the hand and left everything behind and I ran. That two also she didn't allow me to eat. She chased after me. She caught hold of me. I cried. I was about to put it in the mouth. She snatched it from my hand. I thought, why is she so cruel today? You see? So, despite my crying and creating a scene and rolling on the ground, or wanting it, she said, nothing doing. You do whatever you want. You know, you will eat this and die. And I didn't understand why. You see? But of course, she got some other chocolate and gave me. When I grew up, I understood naphthalene ball is not good for eating. It takes time. But most people, by the time they realize, like young teenage girls, when they are in teenage, many times father, brother, they are very worried about them. That they should not elope with a boy or something. And then you tell them, they will not understand. They will always want to dress provocatively, and they will want to pull some boy, and basically they want the want to provoke the boys, but not get raped. That is the desire. Yeah? Provoke them, but not get. So they will try to provoke. Parents are worried, brothers are worried. In India, parents, until they get the girl married, they are very worried. They are very. Once a girl is married, nowadays still you can't be peaceful because they may divorce and come back also. But the idea is, but once you give her in marriage, she grows up, then she begets a daughter. When that daughter comes to teenage, she will give a lot of wonderful upadesh. You don't know, in my teenage days, I myself was so foolish and I suffered. So many boys cheated me and you don't get cheated and everything. But the child will never understand. She has to go through and learn herself. Get solid kicks, learning through school of hard knocks. Then come to good senses. Similarly, you will find that this material desires are poisonous. People, like he says, Yayati says one beautiful verse. He says, Nanu, no, not Yayati, this is Daksha Prajapati says, Nanu bhuyana janati puman vishayati kshnatam. He says, na anubhuya na janati. Japata koi anubhu nahi karta. As long as a person personally does not experience puman vishaya tikshnatam, he will not understand the sharpness of material enjoyment. He says, material enjoyment is only enjoyment in namesake. It is very nicely covered sharp sword. Like a sharp sword has a very beautiful cover, designed cover outside. Just like Putana is called like that. Putana, when she came to see Krishna, she was like a sharp sword covered by a beautiful myan, they call it, no? That the cover outside. Very nice design cover. So material enjoyment is like that. Outside it is very nice, but inside it is a sharp sword. So, in this way he says that people, unless they personally experience, they are not going to give up. People have to get solid suffering from material enjoyment themselves, and then only they will give up. Otherwise they will not give up. No matter how many lectures you give, how many books they read, they know it, still they will not give up. Because the soul is thirsty for oceanic bliss. And in the material world, you have only oceanic salt water. You don't get oceanic bliss here. But they are chasing after many things in this world for enjoyment. So, but if the living entities come across a Sadguru in life, and they become obedient to the spiritual master, and follow the rules, regulations given. Something is told, one should not touch it, then one should not touch it. Just like in Bible you read the story of Adam and Eve. God had told Adam and Eve that you can live peacefully and I will provide you everything you need. But one thing is, here is the Garden of Eden, and there is a tree which has got a forbidden fruit, which you should never look upon. You should not go to that garden in that place. That particular tree is prohibited for you. But you can live here peacefully. Rest of the whole world I have given you with all facilities. They were happy. But one day, when Adam had gone out, Eve was at home. A serpent, that is Maya, comes in the form of a serpent. She comes in. That Maya came and hissed. And Maya told, do you know why God has told you not to go to the tree? And then she said, I don't know. Because that fruit is called fruit of knowledge. If you eat that fruit, you will become wise and intelligent. And you will get better than God by doing that. That's why God is afraid that if you get better, then you will sit on his head. So that is why he is telling you not to eat. But you can go and eat. There's nothing, and it's a very tasty fruit, by the way. So it started advertising about that fruit, which was forbidden. So she went to the garden, she plucked the fruit, and she ate half the fruit. In the meantime, Adam came back. So he was shocked. He said, "What have you done? And God had prohibited us to do this, but you have done it. I am sure you are going to get punishment for this." And he said, "Because you are going to get punishment, let me also share your punishment." So he also ate the other part of the fruit. And as soon as they ate, immediately, you know, they felt uneasiness in their body. They felt that we have to cover our body now. Till then, they were not wearing any clothes. They immediately took some leaves and bushes and everything and covered their body. Immediately, and then God appears, and God told them, "See, you exactly did what I told you not to do." Exactly. So subsequently, they get some punishment. Women have to tolerate the labor pains after begetting children. Similarly, the men have to till the land and work hard. Like that, some punishment they got. But this story has a very deep significance. Just like the Satan came and inspired her to eat, similarly, the prohibited things are very attractive in this world. Things which are very dangerous for us are the most attractive things in this world. It's very, just like, you know, fried sabji is the most attractive than ordinary sabji. Like, you know, this bopla, dodka, these sabjis are very good for health, but some people see bopla and run away. They don't want to eat at all, isn't it? On the other hand, the sabjis which are nicely fried in oil, so paneer and everything. So the dangerous, most of the things which are not very conducive for the body are very attractive in this world. That's how this material world is created. So when we, one is the going for the prohibited thing, and as soon as she ate it, she became conscious of her body, which means our bodily consciousness increases. You see? Because as soon as she ate the fruit prohibited by God, she and Adam, both of them became bodily conscious. They had to cover up their body. Till then, they were like children, very innocent. That means not wearing any dress, both of them not wearing any dress, that's considered to be innocence like children. So, but that they lost the innocence by eating the forbidden fruit. And subsequently, they had to suffer sinful reactions. So in this way, they were cheated by Maya. In the same manner, here, it is said that one has to follow all these Ashtanga Yoga rules are given. Why these rules are given? The eight steps which are there, the first step is Yama. Yama means Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Brahmacharya, Aparigraha, Yamaha. Shaucha Santosha Swadhyaya Ishara Panidani. Shaucha Santosha Swadhyaya Japa also is there. Japa and Ishara Pranidani Niyamaha. So these if you see these 5 + 5 = 10 items given, they are actually like a foundation for the Ashtanga Yoga. Beginning with Ahimsa means non-injury. Why we should not injure others? Like Indra injured Vishwarupa by cutting off his heads. And then he was chased by a pop in the personified form. Correct, no? So he was chased. Similarly, Durvasamani plucked out his hair and threw on the ground and created a big demon to kill Ambarish. He made an assassination attempt towards Ambarish. Due to which he had to run from pillar to post all over the universe, suffering like anything. When we injure other living entities, then the suffering will come back on us. This is understood. Now, if we subtly injure other living beings, we will subtly suffer also. For example, we don't physically attack anyone, but if we talk ill of somebody, some wrong information, it's like bad mouthing on the back, we call it. You know, if you bad mouth somebody, that will also cause some pain in our heart. Because if somebody tells a lie about somebody to pull them down, that will cause some injury in the mind. Mind will be very disturbed. For example, say somebody talks about somebody to A. He talks about B to A. And then A is wondering, is it really true? I don't know. But then you saw A and B together one day. then the person who spoke like that would be very disturbed. Because you have already told about B to A, and B and A are together. Maybe in case A tells about what I said, what will happen? So our mind becomes hyperactive when we talk ill of others. So that is why it is best to keep our mind like a child, innocent child, and transparent. See, children are, you will find the children are highly excited always. You have seen them? Like they see a flower and get excited. They see a temple and get excited. They see a tree and get excited. They see a bird and get excited. Because the children don't have to carry any anxiety. They give all anxiety to parents. So they are very free. You will see that. Similarly, pure devotees, they leave all anxieties for Krishna to deal with. And they don't have to deal. They remember Krishna. That's all. So, on the other hand, as neophytes have a tendency to meddle up with their life and increase their complication and try to get stuck. Because of which, the living entities injure one another. So neither grossly nor subtly we should injure others. And injuring others is also displeasing to God. Injuring other creatures. So one of the reasons we feel pain after injuring a living entity is because the Lord in the heart is unhappy. So He will also give us unhappiness that we are injuring other living entities. Like for example, when you are eating, for example, imagine if a dog comes. If you give a chapati to a dog and then you also eat, you will feel some sense of happiness. Because when soul acts selflessly, even materially, it gives happiness. On the other hand, you take a stone and beat the dog and drive away the dog, you eat all the chapatis, you will get stomach pain. You won't be satisfied. Because acting selfishly is not the nature of the soul. You see? So, ahimsa, he says. And satya means truthfulness. If we tell lies, we will not be peaceful. Because sometimes one lie we may tell, in order to suppress it, we may have to tell a second lie, and a third lie, and fourth lie, and so on. So when there are multiple lies, you forget to whom, which lie did I tell? That you may forget. Now when he comes, I told him one thing. When he comes, I told another thing. That's how the mind becomes hyperactive. So we should not tell lies. Better speak the same thing to everybody. Be transparent. So ahimsa, satya. Asteya means not stealing something that is other, that belongs to others. It may be items which belong to others. Or it may be credit that is due for others. If we steal, we will not be peaceful. Why? For example, I say that I did something to somebody who is an ignorant fellow, and he may nod the head and say, Jai Jaikar to me. Now, he goes and tells somebody that, so Rajan Prabhu said that he did this, and that somebody may be aware of the total picture. He may say, really? I know clearly he never did it. That other person did it. Because he was not even there. Somebody else did it, if they say, then the word will get around. Whether he did it or he did it, people will talk about. And then when people come to know that you didn't do it, they'll come and ask you, Prabhu, I came to know that you never did it, but you told that you only did it. And that will cause a lot of uneasiness for us to prove that I only did it. You understand, no? How mind becomes hyperactive. When we didn't do anything, it's better to admit I didn't do it. So not take the credit that is supposed to be given to someone else. So there is a very strong tendency in this world to cut the others who do good things and take the credit oneself. So that should be given up. Ahimsa, satya, asteya. Brahmacharya means celibacy. There are 8 aspects of celibacy. There is one verse which says, sarvatra maitunatyago brahmacharyam prachakshi. That verse says, kaya vacha manasa sarvavastam susarvada sarvatra maituna tyago brahmacharyam prachakshite. So like that it says. But what is that sarvatra maituna tyago? That is explained in another verse by Yajnavakya, where he says, one should not look upon women lustfully, but one should look upon women as a mother. One should not talk to women for unnecessarily. Even in the Vedic times, the men and women lived in 2 different areas of the house, Andarwadi and Baharwadi. Women will be in Andarwadi, men would be in Baharwadi. So when men are in Baharwadi, Prabhupada says, 4 or 5 brothers live in Baharwadi. They will not be able to meet their wife easily. Andarwadi, there will be 4 or 5 women. They will be combing their hair and chatting with each other, one another. You know, sometimes they may cook together. And they may be, that way they have opportunity for socializing. And then if a man is in the outside place, the elder brother is intelligent, then he will engage the younger brother who may be lazy in job also, some kind of activity. So they become busy with activities like that. But nowadays, due to nuclear family concept, the brothers are not living together. There are nobody for, then man and woman are only there together. And the result of that is, either because of getting to see each other, they develop aversion for one another and quarrel with one another. Or we find them begetting children like cats and dogs by uniting even during the day with no sense control. So in this way, they become degraded and lose respect for mutual respect for one another. You can find like that. And in the Vedic time, because they are separated, there is some attraction a husband will have for the wife. Because all day he cannot approach her. Only in the night when he approaches, he is very thankful to be with her. And then morning again, she becomes busy with other ladies in a joint family. So because there is some distance, the distance increases appreciation for each other. When there is no distance, the veneer is gone, the cover is gone, there is no attraction at all. So, ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means, that is why it is, if a man is more under the guidance of guru and scientific persons, then he is able to maintain a very high spiritual stature. And his wife also becomes inspired in Krishna consciousness, assisting the husband. Otherwise, if a man connects with the wife's passion, then both of them become degraded, expanding their material life, material facilities, more money, more enjoyment. So they go in a downward spiral, gliding down. Whereas the husband is spiritually advanced, then he carries wife, children, family, everybody catching hold of the guru's feet, he goes up to spiritual world. Isn't it? So that is possible even in a grihastha ashrama. And those who are brahmacharis, for them, these 8 things Yajnavalkya says, that he says smaranam, kirtanam, keli, guhya bhashanam, like that, many things he says. They should not confidentially talk to women for enjoyment. They should not throw lusty looks, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry with Chota Haridas for that. Or they should not make a plan. So in this way, different things he says. Amongst all the austerities, brahmacharya is considered the topmost austerity. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, he writes there. And then there are other austerities also. But one is practicing the brahmacharya. He says here that he develops some mystic powers. What is this mystic powers that he says here, if you see. Brahmacharya is required for perfection of self-realization and mystic power, Prabhupada says. Which means, a man who follows the principles of brahmacharya, he will have clarity of thought, he'll be able to make decisions, he will have confidence, he will have the decision making power, he will have the vichara shakti, he will have dharana shakti. Dharana means he'll be able to hold many things that he hears from the shastra. And also vichara shakti means analytical shakti, viveka buddhi, the ability to discern between what is sat and asat. One will be able to distinguish like that. And also, when one practices brahmacharya properly, then the other senses are very easy to control automatically. And also, the brahmacharya should be understood to be a designation. It is not the ultimate for a jiva, because the brahmacharya at the most may take one to Satyaloka or somewhere like that. Whereas brahmacharya can be used as a springboard to ascend to the spiritual world. You can use it as a springboard to cultivate Krishna consciousness very nicely. Because in a brahmacharya setting, one can get profuse facilities to advance in Krishna consciousness, is it not? You are in the ashram of Guru, you get to worship the deities, you study the shastra, you chant, you preach, and there are no lingering anxieties to raise children. For example, morning a brahmachari gets up, he has to go to the bathroom. Suddenly he finds gamsha is missing. So it creates some tension, undoubtedly. People may say, you are saying brahmachari is wonderful. What is wonderful? I get tension early morning. But when one is a grihastha, then the daughter may elope away with the man. You may find gamsha missing. If a father or mother find daughter missing, which is more serious? Isn't it? So, Our anxieties are insignificant. Grihastas take enormous anxiety. Their anxiety is enormous. So, one should know, if one can be brahmachari and practice in the ashrama, one should know it's a great gift, great opportunity. And also, brahmachari is called urdhvaretas. Urdhvaretas means one who does not allow the semen to flow downwards. Because if semen flows downwards, then along with that good intelligence, you know, sobriety, sober behavior, and intelligence to discriminate between matter and spirit, and development of sukshma buddhi for understanding God, all these things go away. There is one verse in Bhagavatam which says, Teshu, ashanteshu, mudheshu, kandita atmasu, asadushu, sangamna kuriya, chocheshu, yoshit krida, mrigeshu cha. So this verse is spoken by Kapila. He says, Teshu, ashanteshu, one should not associate with a querulous fool who is not peaceful. Teshu, ashanteshu, mudheshu, who is a fool. Khandita atmas means his condemned soul. And sangam na kuriyat, shocheshu, pathetic, he says. Shocheshu, yoshit krida mrigeshu cha, one who simply becomes a play toy due to his lusty activities. He becomes a play toy in the hands of women, like that he says. So, this is the situation of one who does not follow proper brahmacharya. He will be having poor, he'll be poor and talkative, talking all kinds of prajalpa. His mind will be hyperactive. His senses will be uncontrolled. Iti utidha, you know that verse. Shishnodara parayana Krishna nahi paaya. He says, no, he's not Narayana parayana, he's Shishnodara parayana. So, in this way, such a person actually loses the golden opportunity to advance in spiritual life. So, that is why ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, aparigraha. Your practitioner should not accumulate anything. Once you accumulate, then there is anxiety for maintenance, you see. Sometimes you find, like one time one of my students in Pune, he took me to a new house he has purchased. He wanted to have some puja. The whole house was empty. So we did some kirtan and everything. And 6 months later, when he was married, again he invited us. We went. The house was full with furniture. There was a fridge and there was, you know, what do you call it, a showcase. And there were so many items in the house. So when a person brings many, many items, imagine you bring a washing machine, you can wash the clothes. But then the maintenance increases when the washing machine doesn't work. Sometimes big machine is lying but doesn't work, isn't it? So the more we increase the items like that, the more the maintenance. And that is why the aparigraha is said, a saintly person should reduce the possessions. Our Parampuja Rajnath Maharaj used to say, when he talks about brahmacharya, our brahmacharis have only this one locker, that's all. All their life's belongings are fitting within that one locker. And it's a very great achievement, isn't it? When I was traveling in the West, I saw in one house, they had an independent bungalow and they had a big garage. And the garage was also a godown, converted into a godown. Because they had four garages, three they made into a godown. Stocking things which could be, and they had teddy bear this size, this size, this size, and somebody had given to their child and the birthday gifts accumulated. Like that, people accumulate year after year after year. So, saintly person should not unnecessarily accumulate things which will lead to anxiety. The more we possess, more the anxiety. And the less we possess, less the anxiety. Like for example, in the villages sometimes the house door is open the night when the people sleep, isn't it? So once I was asking, is there no danger of thieves? They said, what will a thief do? Even if he comes there, nothing to steal. There's nothing to steal, so they keep the door open. But in city, you can see everybody has a lens, everybody has a chain and everything. Beware of dogs and all that. So, one reason is we don't want to increase our anxiety. And another reason is we don't want to increase the maintenance of the thing. So, we possess less, least possessions. So, these are all yama. And in niyama, he says, shaucha. We should be clean in body and clean in mind. Shaucha and shaucha santosha means satisfaction is a very important criteria. If one is satisfied, then such a brahmana's tejas will increase. It is said, Tejo viprasya vardhate. It is said. But if one is not satisfied, he loses luster. You know? He will become like a fool because of hankering. You know? So opposite of satisfaction is greed. You see, shaucha santosha swadhyaya japa ishvara pranidani. Surrender to the Lord in the heart. Niyamaha. So when one does these 5-10 items, then the senses and mind, they become calm, cool, collected. Further to control the senses, there is asanas. Further to control the mind, there is pranayama. Actually, when we do the first 10 items only, the mind and senses will be reasonable and it will be easy to tackle the material disease. If one follows the first 10 items. And then yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, and then pratyahara means stopping the enjoying spirit and shutting off the senses, which means not allowing the senses to go and flow in wrong direction. And then dharana, dhyana, samadhi is possible. When Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii, in the morning when he went to the ocean beach side, when he saw the surfers, so Prabhupada was telling that time, see, they want to play with the ocean like this. This is infection. Prabhupada said, this is their infecting with the gunas. So the next life, they will become a fish and they can be dancing with the ocean. Instead of dancing with Krishna, they will dance with the ocean waves, becoming a fish, they were telling. So when he came back to the temple, he was speaking a Bhagavatam class and he suddenly remembered that he said, morning, whom did we see? Are they sufferers? He asked. And devotees laughed and said, no, no, Prabhupada, they are called surfers. He said, Prabhupada said, you call them surfers, I call them sufferers. He said, why? Because they are degrading by infecting material diseases. And Prabhupada spoke very strongly in Hawaii for 10 days. Tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena, damena, tyagena, satya, shaucha, all that he quoted then. Deha, vak, buddhijam, dhira, dharmagnya, shraddhayanvita. So these are all the principles given when in a Gurukula, when one is practicing. By practicing these things, the material disease can be cleansed. Beginning with tapasya. Tapasya means, even though the material desires are nagging inside, how can one say a no to the material desires and go on? That is only possible by practicing what we have learned, by giving shape to the knowledge. Knowledge shouldn't remain knowledge, but we practice it. Practice based on wisdom and for a prolonged period of time. That will actually destroy the material diseases. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there is a regulated lifestyle prescribed for brahmacharis, for grihasthas also. So when one adopts a regulated lifestyle with devotion to God and with worship of spiritual master and his instructions, and keeping away from those objects which are detrimental for our progress. And not longing for them, but trying to deny them and accepting only in a regulated fashion. And in this way, when a celibate lives in the ashram of Guru, aspiring to become a servant of the Lord, gradually one will find that the material desires are gradually. And this is a self-test. Like we say that in that verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. What happens? Two things come by bhakti. Janayati, ashu vairagyam, jnanam. One will become more and more intelligent spiritually, and with that intelligence we can subdue the impure mind and the disturbed senses. And we can control them by that wisdom. And also vairagya will come, which means vairagya means detachment will arise. Detachment means one loses taste only. See, one thing is to say no to something while maintaining the attraction for it. You may say, like sometimes doctor has told you not to eat oily items. If somebody is bringing, bhaji or pakoda, and everybody is eating, you also want to eat. Sometimes you tell the people, hey, go away, don't come near. If you want to eat, you go and eat there. Don't eat in front of me. Because I am tempted to eat also. You may say like that. Correct, no? So we have a taste, but we deny it because doctor has told. So Guru is our doctor. Doctor has told you should not do it, so we agree. That is why obedience to Guru is very important, because gross sex is also independent mentality. But subtle sex is independent mentality, which means grass sex means physically somebody has sex, but subtle sex means to be independent minded and disobedient. See, Dhruva Maharaj says four qualities, no? Not Dhruva, I mean Narada boy. Dante akrindinike anuvartine alpabhashini. So one quality he says naughty. I was not naughty, he says. So what is the meaning of naughty? Superficial respect for guru while not following his instructions is called naughty behavior. So this will really not work. Because that such in maintaining independent mentality is actually the cause of gross sex. From subtle sex, it goes to gross sex eventually. So one has to... tapasya means to restrain one's mind and senses while developing a higher taste. So that means practice based on knowledge. One has to do that. And the deity worship, for example, increases our remembrance of Krishna. Similarly, the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam increases our awareness of Krishna and our relationship with Him. Chanting of the holy name destroys material diseases. It literally destroys like an antibiotic. And the antibiotic kills the bacteria in the body. Similarly, the chanting of the holy name can destroy the kama karma bija. A pure devotee, it is said, na kama karma bijanam yasya chetasi sambhavah vasudevaikanilayah savai bhagavatottamah. He says, na kama karma bijanam. The kama karma bijas, he says, na yasya chetasi sambhavah. They cannot act for a pure devotee because they are all destroyed by one pointed fixity on Lord Vasudev, as you call out the holy name. So you will find all these practices given in Ashtanga Yoga, they are all, you know what they are meant for? To make us steady in fixed concentration on Krishna. Like in Gita also Krishna says, Shucho deshe pratishtapya stiram asanam atmanah na uchritam na atinicham chailahajana kushottaram tatra ekagram manakritva tar ekagram, he says. He says that, sit down, he says. Don't allow the mind to make you run here and there. Mind only makes the physical body also run here and there. He says, sit down. So when we sit down, just like you hear the Bhagavatam class, when you sit down and you hear, then the message gets across. Then we get to hear. So in meditation also, the first step is one has to make an asana in a sacred space. One has to find out. And then sit oneself peacefully. And when one sits without shaking, then the mind also, it is said, mind becomes fixed also. I mean, not too high, not too low. And in a secluded place, which is not noisy. And then when one is, know that noisy means not just the sound for the ear, but also the roaming eyes and distracted ears, we say. That should be, we should be free from any trouble-giving elements to the spiritual progress. And then, in this way, he says, Krishna says that one has to gradually calm the mind, cool the mind, steady the mind, and then do what? Focus on Lord Vasudev. That is the purpose of calming the mind. So what kind of food I am eating, what kind of habits I am having, if you keep a watch on that, gradually we should bring the mind to a calm state where it can peacefully focus on Krishna. And then he is saying, sa nishchayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamam styaktva sarvan asheshatah. You see what he says? Sa nishchayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Without any, nirvinna means distracted. Without any distraction, in a one-pointed fashion, fix your attention. And that is why we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam styaktva. Give up all the material desires, he says. Asheshataha means don't even leave one or two. Anya bilashita, how many we are allowed to leave? Not even one. Shunyam, he says. And then he's saying, manasai vendriya gramam vinyamya samantha. And then he says, shanai shanai ruparame buddhya aditi grihitaya. Subsequently, you will find he will talk about the samadhi which will come. He says, you know, yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha yasmin sitona dukkena guruna api vichalyate tam vidya dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samsitam. So, there he says that as we ascend from yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, pratyahara, then the dharana, dhyana, samadhi, these three stages, 12 seconds, and 12 into 12 seconds, 12 into 12 into 12 seconds, almost half an hour, one can have fixity on one thing at a time. So one thing at a time means, focus on the holy name and withdraw the mind from all other distractions and don't let the mind go back. If one can hold the holy name in the mind for a prolonged period of time, such a holy name will destroy. Just like Agasura was holding Krishna inside his mouth for a prolonged period of time. Then he was all his impurities were finished and he got liberated. Similarly, we have to hold the holy name in our tongue and the heart for a prolonged period of time, and the holy name will, you know, cleanse our inside and outside. Bahya, you know, antara bahya abhyantara shuchi, it is said. So in this way, we can become purified. And the more we are purified, our attraction for the material sense gratification will go away. Enjoying spirit will go away. Seva spirit will gradually set in. And the taste of seva spirit, as it is increased more and more and more, then one will become yonta sukontara aramas tata tatanta jyotirevache. Krishna says, no, one will become antarmukh shishya, which means one will be able to focus peacefully on Krishna without the pinching and nagging of the material desires. So that is why the brahmacharya is emphasized in this verse, and the ashtanga procedures are given in order to keep ourselves aloof from the trouble-giving agents in our spiritual advancement. But if we don't pay attention to these things, you know, imagine somebody's pulling your hand, somebody's pulling legs, somebody's pulling your shikha everywhere, and you cannot do anything, just like the Bhagavatam explains in one of the chapters. So it is in our interest that we have to keep our mind and senses peaceful for us to be able to offer it to Guru and Krishna without them being stolen away by Maya. So Srila Prabhupada has made spiritual life very simple for us through such a scientific understanding in his books, systematically explaining about the nature of mind and senses. He has made life easy for even the Kali Yuga sadhakas, although the environment in Kali Yuga is surcharged with tremendous material vibrations. So thanks to Srila Prabhupada for creating this beautiful society and giving us the opportunity to perfect our life even in this dangerous age of distractions, and making life easy for us by offering such wonderful gifts through this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.